Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm like, whoa. Rising in the rising sun, the land of bamboo, Tengu and Gundam. Like, yo, can't believe I finally made it. Matsuri celebrated Golden Week. Hold it down with my cho. E-Tank, get out of. Let's hit Yamada. Thank you, big smile.
Yo, minasan, it's Manga Sensei. What's going on? Welcome back to another interview where I do every single Saturday interviewing someone who uses Japanese for their job, their life, or just in dating. I don't know. This week we're interviewing one of my good friends. In fact, he's one of the few actual members of Manga Sensei. This is my friend John Sorensen. John has lived off and on in Japan for about 3 years. He's done everything from translating things to working as a principal in an English school. He has a wide variety of knowledge when it comes to like Japanese literature, Japanese idiomatic phrases, as well as a really good grasp on grammar. That's why he's basically the number two at Manga Sensei. John, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself a little bit?
Yeah, so let's see. What should I say? I'm a 23-year-old college student going to BYU right now. I'm studying comparative literature in Japanese, planning to go into law school with that. But so far, I've used Japanese in a number of situations. I started off when I was 19, ended up volunteering in Japan, lived there for about 2 years, and that's when I really started to learn Japanese and apply it.
Did you have any study before that at all? Or?
I tried to study it once before, but it was I thought it was too difficult to grasp myself, so I put that on pause when I started school, uh-huh. But then really started to study once I got to Japan, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. And then after Japan, you studied Japanese as well?
Yeah, so after I got back from Japan, realized just how much I loved it and how much fun it could be. And so I continued to study it in school, taking, you know, lower level classes, that kind of stuff, studying a little bit through like anime and whatnot, talking to any Japanese people I could find who I could convince to listen to me.
Right.
And then
that's the thing.
Yeah, and then I actually found another opportunity to go back to Japan and work as, it started out as just like teaching English for 4 months, but I ended up becoming an administrator of the school for that time, in which I kind of just ran the school and needs in Japan, in Mikuni, Japan.
Dang.
Yeah.
Dang, how, and you were only 22 when you were doing that, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah. So it was
22 running a school, you know, no big deal.
Exactly. No, I, like, they must have been really short of volunteers where they were just like, hey, John, like, go ahead, be in charge of the school. But what can you do?
Yeah, 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 you know. I think that's one of the best ways to learn, though. A lot of the people that I've talked with have learned Japanese really well when they are thrown into a situation and they were forced to learn something.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I completely agree.
Did you have to learn a lot of Japanese when you took on that position, or was it a majority English speaking, or how was that?
It was, at the school, it was a lot of English speaking, but whenever I had to go outside of the school, whether to get supplies for the school or to communicate the needs to other administrators, I used Japanese a lot. And sometimes it was just to go, like, fix the cars or whatever, but when I went to do that and everything, I had to kind of learn a little bit new vocabulary, learn kind of the new stuff that I had to do, yeah.
See, that's the hardest part. So I had a friend who worked in Germany, and he had wonderful German, lived there for a while, had lovely German, had to go get his car fixed.
Yeah, yeah.
And he told me this story all the time where he's like, I thought I was awesome at Germany, I was working with German stuff, I planned to do German stuff after I had finished my volunteer work over there, and I had to go get my car fixed. And I couldn't say anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Suddenly, like, despite everything he had, he couldn't speak that. But it's really interesting. On the flip side, and the funny thing was, my friend, he's a mechanic.
Yeah, yeah.
So if he was English, he could have done just fine. He would have just explained it.
Exactly.
But instead, now he's in his element, but he's out of his element because of the language situation. How did you overcome those kinds of situations? Was it just mostly vocab study or?
So, yeah. So, I think the way that I kind of got over that issue was I learned as well as I could how to apply the words I knew into the new situations.
Gotcha.
Where, of course, you want to learn all the vocabulary you can, every grammar point you can, just kind of master the language. But when you're in the situation, like fixing your car or going to the grocery store or going to the doctor, uh-huh. and you have needs that you don't know the exact vocab for that you want to say in English, I think probably the best way that I had was kind of just describe the word that I was going for. Like, if I were to say, like brakes on a car or something, uh-huh. something just needed to describe an actual object, something like that,
uh-huh.
I would describe, I mean, of course, you know, the katakana. You could just go to katakana.
Right, you could say budeki.
Exactly. But you could also say the thing that makes your car stop on the wheels, kind of describe what's happening to the car.
Gotcha. That, so you kind of like centralocated around the word.
Exactly. So I think that's how I got around a lot of the high-level vocabulary that I didn't know but needed to say in the situation.
Gotcha. I think – so those linguistic tools are actually really interesting. I was talking with a – so I lived in Korea for a little while, and one of the gals that I made good friends with, she's a linguist. She speaks a couple of languages, and one thing she said that really, really helped her was shadowing people.
Yeah.
Where she would, like, repeat under her breath when the native speakers were talking to kind of improve her yeah. pronunciation and intonation yeah. that way. But I think it's really interesting when you get into a new situation and you have to use the tools that you have at your disposal. And the more you can kind of expand those tools,
yeah.
the better linguist you become.
Exactly.
So whether it's shadowing to copy someone's accent or whether it's learning how to describe the word that you don't know so you
yeah.
can move on to get the major point.
Yeah.
Like, even now, like, having studied Japanese for almost 8 years, there are still words, of course, that I don't know, things
yeah.
that I'm unfamiliar with, but I've learned enough tools to be able to. I think about it in English. When you don't know how to spell a word in
yeah,
a sentence,
yeah. exactly.
you can either try to figure out how to spell it,
yeah.
or you can just say it in a different way.
Exactly, exactly.
And that's not lazy. I think that's simply just trying to find the tools to do what you want to accomplish.
Exactly. No, and now that you've mentioned shadowing, I think that's like a really useful thing as well.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, like, I would say up until about a year and a half ago, my pronunciation was just garbage. Like,
really?
Like, I could say it, but I sounded very American. I probably still do, but it was even
gotcha.
Worse than I am now.
Okay.
With that, and like, honestly, like, yeah, one of the things that's really interesting with shadowing is, like, you just gotta say it over and over and try to repeat the sounds that they're doing. But, yeah, I think that helps a lot.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's especially when you start – I tried to shadow – like, I watched a couple of YouTube videos, and that's
yeah.
kind of how I shadow. I found a couple of people that I like how they talk.
Yeah.
And I try to copy their – not copy their Japanese per se. But I try to copy the way they talk because
yeah.
I think it sounds more how I want to sound.
Yeah.
It was actually interesting. You were – when speaking of ways that you were talking, you did some research recently on what makes you sound cool.
Exactly, yeah.
So that's something I kind of want to focus on a little bit with our podcast today is how do you sound cool in Japanese?
Yeah.
Especially if you're a guy. Gals, I'm sorry, you're already cooler than us anyway. But if you're a guy, how do you sound cool?
Awesome. Okay, so – yeah, that's a pretty interesting topic, and I actually really liked doing this research and studying this out. It began as a semester project about a year ago. I was trying to figure out what was cool Japanese versus what was not cool Japanese. What kind of things stood out in the Japanese language that differentiated it, if anything? Because we all know in English there are certain cool things you say, like there's slang, there's other things,
right.
there's how you say it,
uh-huh.
Certain emphasis, whatever. There's a lot of different ways to come off, per se, like nerdy or cooler than you want to be. But so when I started this, I kind of started off with Japanese TV shows and anime. And I realized that it's scripted Japanese language. And while it's not 100% accurate as to what Japanese is like in the real world, what it does is gives you a manifestation of the kind of the linguistic ideology behind the language. Kind of how
gotcha.
People, how the Japanese people see their own language and see the cool people in their own language and how they would be. And so they script it out that way.
Right. So this is not cool to like me sitting at home watching Tokyo Ghoul and thinking Kaneki
yeah.
is cool. It's
no, exactly.
more, what do the Japanese perceive as cool themselves?
Exactly. And so Basically, yeah. So when I started this, and let's put out a disclaimer. If you want to speak cool, don't just pick out an anime and pick out an anime character and just copy everything they do.
So you don't want to sound like Zaraki Kenpachi is what you're saying. So you don't want to go to Bleach and be like, I'm going to freaking talk like Zaraki Kenpachi. Like.
Exactly. If you start studying from freaking Naruto, you're going to have some issues in Japanese society if you just copy what they say. But there are some things that we can definitely take from these styles. So what I did for my research is I based it off of three Japanese TV shows that displayed this is subjective, but the consensus was very cool characters using modern Japanese that among the age group of 19 to 28 about.
Okay.
And so that's kind of
that was your group that you chose from.
Exactly. So within that, I chose a few characters and see what they were displaying for their cool Japanese.
Right.
And what I found, because I was looking at their, if there was something with intonation, whether there was something with their sentence final particles, like ne, yo,
zo,
yeah, etc. And also, what kind of words they chose. I kind of, this might seem random, but I had a reason for it, but I also tried to see whether they were using Chinese compound words, native Japanese words, or katakana words.
So instead of using words like shokujisuru, which would be a Chinese root word.
Exactly.
You tried to see if they were using shokujisuru or if they were using more like taberu.
Exactly.
Or if you're using like a lower form like ku.
Exactly.
So you had three different verbs, way to say to eat, but you had different ways of saying it depending on where it was from. So you investigated that as well.
Exactly. And so the most clear thing that I found, and I was actually really interested to see this, was that there are pretty clear patterns in the Japanese language within this ideological set that showed that the sentence final particles were things that differed the most between cool and uncool Japanese when I set them side to side against uncool characters. And
although I don't agree with one of your uncool characters because let's put that out there. Scythe, if you ever watch One Punch Man, this is manga, since I can only talk about manga all I want. One of the people that you chose for uncool was Saitama.
Yeah.
And Saitama's like the man. I'm saying this because I'm bald, but like.
Exactly. A little bias over here. No, yeah. So basically, So where he thinks he's cool, that might be a little subjective, but we'll go with it. But so what I did was I took him out of any situations where they'd be using unfamiliar Japanese, like in battle scenes or whatever, and just did, if it was everyday language, I took it off of that. So what I found was, the cool characters didn't use any brash or harsh sentence final particles like zo, ze, and they used na a lot less. Sentence final particle.
They used na a lot less as well.
Less, they still use it, but less. If it were like the like emphatic na, like,
uh-huh.
Like, yeah. But they used yo and ne so much more.
Really?
Along with that, it seemed like the most cool characters in the shows tended to be a lot more polite as well.
Okay.
Like, they definitely had informal Japanese a good amount.
Okay.
But they were the ones who were socially aware of the situations where they needed to be more polite. Even if it were somebody who would not necessarily be lower than them in social rank. But if they were just meeting them, no matter what social rank they were polite to them.
Gotcha.
So I think those were the things that stood out the most. And while I did this at first with just the scripted TV shows, I ended up this last semester running this same thing against reality TV shows that were unscripted.
Right. Who was that going against? Whatever his name was, Bay and whatnot?
Oh, yeah. What was his name again? Hold on. It was Hansan. Yeah.
Hansan.
It's from Tetris House. If you've ever seen Terrace House, I mean, it's on Netflix. It's a Japanese reality TV show. It's supposedly unscripted and everything. And basically, the reason I chose this guy is because, like, they have commentators on the show who like comment about him and like talk about the characters. Once this guy came on the show, they were off the wall for this guy. The girls were in love with him immediately. Like, everyone was impressed. The girls love him. The guys loved him. Like, he is the cool guy in Japanese reality TV, from what I found. And so I was thinking, I'm like, maybe these patterns will show up a little bit, so it'll be interesting to kind of back this up if I can with the reality TV show. And I ran a few of the episodes from where I could, and what I found actually surprised me more than I thought it would. Because what I found was the patterns that emerged in Terrace House with Hansan were even more emphasized than they were in the scripted TV shows. He used Yoane a lot more than the scripted TV shows, and he did not use Zo or Zay once. I think he used Na twice, from what I found. But like, there was that, and plus his Japanese, like, he was mostly polite to people who were even younger than him. He did have an informal Japanese, but like, he was just on top of that. And so the patterns that I found in the scripted Japanese emerged even more so from this cool guy in this reality television show, which I thought was very interesting and kind of,
right,
maybe not proved, but provided more evidence that this kind of level-headed, polite, kind of socially aware typecast is the cool typecast in Japan.
So if someone's trying to learn Japanese right now, and they have a fair grasp of the grammar,
yeah,
and they're starting to try to develop their own voice in Japanese, which is a thing. It's definitely, yeah, a thing. I've had to develop my own voice over time.
Exactly.
And now I feel really uncool because I use Zo quite often. Yeah.
No, yeah.
I also use sometimes I use my dialect, which is really bad. But like, what would be the takeaway for someone who wanted to sound cool?
Yeah.
When they're gaijins, most exactly. likely. If you're not gaijin, then that's whatever.
Exactly.
But what would be the takeaway for them?
So I would say the key to this is to come off as that cool character in Japanese, and not to come off as a ninja yelling Zo and Zan, Bukurosuzo, like all the time. Like, probably want to avoid that. That's more of the not so cool crowd. But rather than that, I think the key to that is be level-headed and socially aware. So when you're in these situations, it doesn't demand politeness at all times. Rather, it demands you being socially aware to be for where you use polite Japanese, and whenever possible, use Yoane instead of Zoze and Na, kind of thing. Right. But I mean, that's when you're meeting new people and kind of are developing a relationship with them. I think that's the most characteristic point.
Gotcha. Perfect. Okay. With that, though, we are going to, at this point, switch over from English to Japanese. If you're not familiar with how we do our interviews, what I do is for the first 15 minutes or so, it's been about a little bit over that right now, about 18 or so, we speak English and we talk about the topic, and then we're going to just continue on this same stream. We're going to do it in Japanese now. Now, we are two gaijin speaking Japanese. However, this is a great opportunity if you're a more advanced student to listen and try to catch different grammar points that you may not be familiar with, particularly because it may be in an accent that is more advantageous for you to pick out that grammar points. Also, if you are a more advanced speaker than we are, which is extremely likely, except for me, I'm wonderful, but is to catch the mistakes we make, because we will make mistakes, and that's okay. One of the things I try to push on this podcast every single episode is the necessity for mistakes, and the necessity to learn how to improve your Japanese through using those mistakes to become better. And those mistakes don't have to be your own. Let us make those for you. If you are new to this podcast and you are a very low-level learner, I want you to try to listen anyway. If you know four words in Japanese, I want you to try to see if you can catch those four words. Because that will be able to help your listening. It will give you words that you're not familiar with, and it will give you something to go and study from here on out, and actually have a goal in mind to be able to understand my lovely sonorous voice in Japanese. でもそれでもしなんかかっこいい TMG がなんか示したいなら、やっぱり丁寧語を使うだけではなく、空気読み必要があるんじゃないですか、ジョンさん。
そうですね。空気を読んだ方がいいと思う。
でも、なんか、この両方があって、どっちの方がいるだと思う？
そうですね。なんか、 ただ丁寧語か、なんかその丁寧じゃない言葉ですか、なんか。
そう、そういう丁寧、なんか日常会話よりに、あの丁寧語か、この敬語を使うより、あの空気を読むのがどっちの方がいいと思う。
そうですね。なんか自分の意見の中で多分空気を読むのが一番大切だと思う。なぜかっていうと、なんかある人とすごくいい関係があったら、あの、なんて言うんですかね。なんか丁寧語を話さない方がいいと思います。なんか、
はい、
もし、あの、なんか、あのぐり、うん、はい、そうですね。まあ、もし先輩とか先生とか、はい、そういう関係だったら、なんか丁寧語を話した方がいいけど、あの、まあ、普通の関係だったら、なんか彼らと、はい、あの、丁寧語を話したら、なんか、ちょっとギャップを感じる、ね。
ちょっと硬いイメージじゃない？
そうですね。そうですね、ギャップを感じる。
ギャップを感じるだけではなくて、多分ね、うん、あの、これはやっぱり僕の意見ですけど、
はいはい。
いつも丁寧語を使うと、なーと、なんか、ねーとよーと使うだったら、
はいはい。
仲良くなりしにくくなるんですよ。
そうですね、そうですね。
ですから、もし外人が、もっと日本人友達ができたいなら、
うん、
やっぱり、こういうなんか丁寧語、なんか敬語を使うだけではなくて、はいはい、どうやってなんか日常会話を使うとか、どの場合によるこれを使うだけに理解しないと、それがいるかなと思うんですけど。
確かに、なんか初めてやる人あったら、もちろんなんかもっと丁寧に、あの、なんか彼らになんか、あの、まあその、なんていうんですかね。
はい。
あの、尊敬を示した方がいいと思います。
なるほど。
けど、なんか、そうですね、けど、場合による。あの、ただなんか多分、犬に丁寧語を話したらなんか、すごく、なんか、バカみたいですかね。
そう。なんか、立派なワンちゃんだったらいいんじゃないけどさ。
確かに。
ほら、僕のなんか、僕はうなぎが二つ、うなぎが、はいはい、うさぎ。I have two eels. うなぎが二匹あるんで、はい、もしなんか僕の犬、うなぎに話がかけたらもう、丁寧語を使いなさい。
そうそう。確かに。で、なんか、まあ、なんかもし外人だったら、
はい、
日本人と話しかけたら丁寧に話したらすごく過酷そうに見えると思います。
すごいイメージでしょ
う。そうけど、なんか1週間2週間3週間後になんか彼らとなんか話したら、
はい、
もし丁寧語を使い続けたらなんかそのバリアを感じると思う。
その壁だね。
そう
確かに。でもね、あの外人としてこれは結構難しいの問題だよ。
そう確かに。
いつか、あの、丁寧語から来るか、敬語から、
うん、
いつスイッチするの？
うん。そうね。ね。そうですね。なんか、自分の意見の中で、もし同じ年齢だったら、あの、なんかな、うん、そうですね。
難しい
な。ちょっと言いづらいな。いや、ちょっと難しいですね。
年齢が同じなのに、ほら、今、あの、ジョン君は何年生、
う
ん、大学で。3年
生。そうですね、3年生、ね。
3年生だろ。あの僕はあの、はいはい、もう3年生、
はい、
でも僕は25歳。
そうですね。
先輩。
だから自分がいつも丁寧語
話してるよ。丁寧語話すべきでしょ。でも同級生だよ。同級生でも年齢が違うから一致スイッチするの、
うんうん、そうですね。それはそれって結構難しいよな。
難しいんだよ、
ね、
ほら今僕はなんか東京翻訳事務所さんで働いてるんで、
うん、はいはい、
パテントラデーションオフィス。
そうですね。
で、あの、僕以外に日本人ばっかりなんだよ。
そうそう。
で、僕は一人の外人で、日本人が何、
うん、
7人 ?7 人ぐらい。で、みんなが僕の上、
うん、
先輩だし、
確かに。
なんか年齢もすごい、なんか、年を比べてるわけではないけど、
うん、
多分5年、10年、20年も人もいらっしゃいます。
そう。
だが、この日、この、6ヶ月ぐらいあの一緒に働いて続けたから、
は
いはい、いつからすごくなんか仲良くなるんだろう、
うんうん、
あのいつもなんか家族について話し合ったり、
ね、
あのいつもなんか趣味とかあの普通に日常会話してるんだけど、いつそのなんかバインで敬語から日常会話にスイッチするの。
そうですね。それ結構難しいね。多分、うん、こうミヤは先輩だったら、
はい、
なんか多分本当に 自分の心の中でそれを分かんない
と。心の質がないと。
そうですね。
やだそれ。
それ以外になんかはっきりと言えないよね。はい、なんか自分の中ですごくなんかそうですね。もしある人がすごく厳しいだったら、多分なんか決して
丁寧語を使うべき。
そうですね。決してなんか普通の言葉、日常言葉使わないと思う。けどすごくなんか楽な人がいたら、
はい、
多分なんかもっと早く、もっと自然に、
はい、
日常会話に入ると思う。なんか丁寧じゃない言葉を使うと思う。
はい、最近一人が一緒に働いてるんだよ。なんかいつも二人組で働いてる、続けてるんですけれども、一人が一緒に毎日働いてて、最近多分今週か先週ぐらい、私じゃなくて、僕と使い始めて、
はいはい、
それはですじゃなくて、もだって言ったり、はいはいはい、それとしますって言わずに、するんだよって言ってて、でも、壁がダンと作れなかったんで、すごく自然になってるかなと思うんですけど、僕は本当にクッキー読んでるかとか、ちょっとなんか不安しとるまで。
すごく難しいよね。
でもね、ちょっと他のシチュエーションを教えてあげる。もし、日本人の女の人で仲良くなって、
そうですね、
どうするの？もしかっこいいうちまだなんか示したいんだろ？なんか、
そうですね。
でも、この女が可愛いから、どうやってなんか付き合って始めればいい？
いやー、それがちょっと難しいな。実は、
はい、
なんか日本人のデートした経験がありますから。
あるんだよ。しとった、僕は。
実はね、なんか、二人がいるから、
はい、
これをちょっと経験したことがあります。なんか、初めて日本人を、なんか、日本人と付き合ってから、なんか、そういう問題があったんだよね。
はい、
ずっと、その、なんか、丁寧語を使って、なんか、それを、なんか、日本語を話すと、実はね、なんか、2、3週間後に、
はい、
その、日本人は、丁寧語をやめてくださいよ。なんか、すごく、なんか、カフェがあるみたいと言ったから、なんか、やめようとしたんだけど、なんか、いつも丁寧に話したから、ちょっと、やめづらかったんだよね。なんか、多分、なんか、結構時間がかかったと思う
けど。どうやってこの壁を乗り換える？
そうですね。ただなんか、だとか、なんか、そういう、なんか別の方を練習したけど、なんか、丁寧語を話し始めると、それを指摘しました。なんか、
はい、
丁寧語だよと言って、あ、すみません。
すまん。
だからなんかそれを通してなんかまあそれを学んちゃったんだよね。
僕は反対の問題があったんだよ。
うん、
僕のネブラスカ州に住んでた間、ルーメイトが日本人だった。
はいはい、
で友達はほとんど日本人で、なんか一人の外人が友達があったけど、彼も日本語はペレペレだった。
はい、
でルーメイトは日本人からしかもなんか年齢も同じだったし、同級生だったし、全然敬語とか丁寧語を使わずに話し合ったんだ。それでネブラスカ大学から BYU に転学した時、みんながすっごい丁寧になった。
そうそう、
先生でもだし、なんか同じ同級生、日本語を勉強しとる方々でもいつも丁寧に話しかけた。
そうですね、
どうする僕はと思って、あれみんながそんなにかたいと思ってるんだなと思って、あれどうやってその壁を乗り換えるか。
そうですね、確かに。去年なんか先生と話すと、なんかそうですね、同じ問題があった。なんかその、
はい、
彼女が言ってから、そのなんか普通の言葉を使い始めて、
はい、
なんか先生と話すとなんか、
はい、
まだ日常的な言葉しか使わなかった、
はい、
なんかもっと丁寧に話すように、本当にその状況をなんか気に使わないとい
けなかった
んですよね。なんか本当になんか多分その問題よね。
はい、
なんかただその社会的な状況を気になんか使わないといけないと思います。
なるほど。
そうですね。多分、
いや それはみんなの問題だね。
だね。だね。
もう借りづらい時に外人として。
うん。
あの、クッキー読んでるなのに、いつ本当に仲良くなったのか。
そうですね。
それで、あの、失礼になりたくないから、
うん、
あの、どういう言葉を使うべきだなと、よく自問する。
そうですね。なんか、しかも、アメリカと日本はなんか逆のパターンがありますよね。
そうですね。
なんかもし先生とか、あの、はい、まあ、社会的にもっと上な人が言ったら、
はい、
アメリカですごくなんか友達みたいな感じが。
そうそう、フレンドリーに話す。
そうそう。そういうふうに話さないといけないんですよね。
はい。
けど、あの、日本は逆ですね。なんか、
はい、
あの、先生と、あの、友達の同じように話したら、すっごく失礼なので、
はい、
本当になんか、ただ、話す、なんか、そうですね、日本語のパターンだけではなくて、本当に、
はい、
あの、なんかその社会的な問題もあります。そのなんか、文化的なバリアもあります。
そうだね、あの、僕はね、あの、一回、あの、僕は何をしてたんでしたっけ、あの、多分なんか宿題とか何をしてるのか覚えてないですけど、
うん
うん、途中に電話が来て、
うん、
あの、もしもしって言って、あの、ジョンさんがいらっしゃ、ジョンさんがいらっしゃいますかって言って、と返事して、僕は誰かと知らなかったから見なかったんだよ。で、あの、誰か知らないから、しかもだって丁寧に話をかけてるから、多分僕の知らない人だなと思ったんですよ。
うんうん、
で、お返事に、
はい、
僕は俺だよ、誰かと返事したんだよ。
すげえ。
そう。その人は、あの、そのところに、あの、仕事を応募したの代表者だった。多分言う必要がないけど、僕はその仕事はできなかったんだよ。
うん、
俺だ、誰かって。
そうね。やばい。
そう、みんな、あの、電話を取る前、誰かちょっと確認してみ。それが、なんか、そういう人は誰かと分からなかったら、ただね、
うん、
丁寧語を使って始め。
そうですね。
一応、それがなんか、もしもし、どちら様ですかって言って、それから、もし友達だったらもう楽でしてもいいんじゃない、
そうそう
と。でもね、仕事に応募すると、必ず、
確かに。
すっごい敬語にならないといけない。
確かに。そうですね。
ああ、もう。
いや、難しいですね。今日、そうですね。多分、彼の思うのは、知ってはない方がいいですよね。なんか、いつも、冷徹に、あの、考えて、なんか相手について考えないといけないんですかね。
あ、確かにね、確かにね。でも僕の模範かとか分かれんだよ。それでさ、これ多分最後の質問だが、
うんうんうん、
今のところで、
うん、
今じゃなくて、帰る途中にポッとノーカレ、日本語全部忘れてしまったら、どうやって、あの、初めから日本語を習って始めるだろう。
そうですね。もしもう一回なんか初めからあのスタートしないといけなかったら、多分ただ日本に行って、いやあのただ日本人と話しかけないと、
はい、
あの本当に。いい練習じゃないと思います。あの、特に彼らと話しかけて、あの、間違いを指摘してくださいと言って、
はい、
本当に彼らとただ、あの、日常的な会話をします。
はい、なるほど。
そうですね。多分、それで始めると思います。
どうやってあの勉強し始める？
そうですね。勉強は、
なんか、日本語一言葉でも分からなかったら。
そうですね。多分、実はね、多分なんか文法的な本とかそういうなんか簡単な文法を勉強し始めると思う。なんか簡単なあの example sentence なんか、
はい、
例の文章を、
うん、
あの、
うん、
なんか読んで英語と日本語を比べて、
はい、
それを通してなんか言葉ずつなんか暗記してからそれをあの会話をなんか 使います。
なるほど。
本当に会話で使わないと多分よく覚えないと思います。
なるほど。
そうですね。そういう簡単な文章を読んだらすごくいいと思う。
いいね。
ね。
それはいいアドバイスのみんな。それでもし今のところでポーと日本語を忘れちゃったら、初めから文法の簡単な例文から読んで比べ、それからどうやって日本語の文章を作るのか、どうやって動詞を使うのか、なんか形容詞、形容動詞、助詞とか、どうやってこれを文章通し使うのか、どうやって僕の意見を説明するのか、集中し、ジョンさんがそういう形をやるんだ。
そうですね。そうですね。その通りです。
その通りか。よかった。でも、それでみんな、このところではちょっと終わらせないといけないんですけれども、もし、今までに日本語を分かれず、我慢したというわけだったら、今から、毎日、間違いがあるように頑張りましょう。The one thing I'm really proud of this podcast is helping people and allowing them to make mistakes. If you've gotten this far, we're proud of you for listening in, checking out some of the fun things that we talked about on how to use and understand where to use certain types of Japanese in certain situations. If you would like to connect with John, we'll drop below his Instagrams so you can follow him and his pretty self.
Yes, please do.
See all of his, all the girlies falling in his life because he knows how to speak way cooler than I do. But I'm married, so it's okay.
Exactly. I've already won the game.
Yeah, my wife doesn't speak Japanese, that's probably why.
Oh, man.
But we will end with this. We will catch you tomorrow. And remember, 間違いの後でペリペリになる。ですから、間違いましょう。それでじゃあ、また明日。
Alright, thanks so much. And yeah, please follow me on Instagram. I've gone to Japan a few times, have some cool pictures of that. See me, thanks so much. Sayonara. Getting closer, gotta punch in, get to work, see me my scent. Chotto mate, kudasai, nampa shita koto nai kedo, anata mecha kawaii. Hontoni, I stay facts. Uchini, I like that.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.